Broadcasting from USA Swimming's headquarters at the Carolyn Dirks Building in Colorado Springs, Colorado, it's time for Kick Set. Join three-time Olympian Elizabeth Beisel and U.S. National Team Director of Performance Matt Barbini as they host members from the USA swimming community, ranging from age group to Olympic levels of the sport.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Kick Set podcast. My name is Matt Barbini. I'm the National Team Director of Performance at USA Swimming, and joining me, as always, three-time Olympian Elizabeth Beisel. Beisel, it's been a while. How are you?
I know. Where do we even start? I feel like you've been in every country since May, and we're finally recording from our home studio. So I'm in Rhode Island. You're in Colorado, obviously.
I'm in Colorado. I have the very fancy trials background that's in the wall of one of our conference rooms.
I love it. I'm trying to figure out what year that was. Was it the first year?
This was 12. You remember that? You don't remember the fire?
Oh, I remember 12? The fire because I think in, was it Lochte's 400 IM? See, we're already off topic. But like he broke the world record or something, Olympic trials record, and the flames went off too early people were swimming. I feel like I've heard that story. Yeah.
Yeah. Because they're right along the side of the pool. Is like, I mean, this is mostly audio, but for those watching, you can see. There definitely were people like still finishing their race. They're like, well, I guess I didn't win.
Yeah. I guess somebody broke a record and it clearly wasn't me. So
anyway,
so we're both home. I'm super excited about our guests, speaking about breaking records and just amazing people in general. And Barbini, I'm going to let you embarrass our guests because that's your thing. That's your shtick.
This is my thing. I know. We should have had her come down. She's actually in Colorado. We should have placed her next to me in the room with the flames.
She's literally like right around the block from you right now. Yeah.
All right. We're doing a lot of lead up here. our guest today is Paige Madden. She's a Tokyo Olympian and silver medalist. She's a four-time NCAA champion with Virginia. Two-time short course worlds medalist, and most recently she was a captain for the U.S. team at last month's Pan American Games in Santiago, Chile. And she won gold in the 400 and 800 free plus two relay medals. So a pretty stout haul from that. Paige, thanks for joining us from 100 yards from where I'm sitting.
Hey guys, thanks for having me. Yeah, good to see you, even though it's virtually.
Yeah.
So good to see you.
Let's start with Pan Ams. What were you excited about? What were you thinking about going into that meet? I know Pan Ams is always a challenge. So like, how were you feeling? What were your expectations? What were you thinking about going in?
Yeah, I think I was so excited to go to this meet because it's been a while since I've had an international meet. I think Short Course Worlds was my last one in 2021. So I was just like happy to be on the team, happy to go. I was kind of going in with no expectations because I've got a new training squad at ASU. So I was sort of just treating it like the equivalent of, to me, like a college midseason meet, just to like check in and see where I was at. I didn't have any goal times or anything. I knew that my 800 was probably going to be pretty good just because I've done a lot of aerobic work, and my other races, I wasn't really sure, but for the most part, I was just happy to travel, happy to be with Team USA, and happy to just like see people.
Yeah. I want to talk about your first gold medal of Pan Ams, the four free, and you've been so beautifully open about kind of struggling with the 400 free and taking a season off and having that mental block with the event. For you going into this Pan Ams and crushing the 400 free, winning it and doing it on an international stage, like how good did that feel? And can you talk about the lead up and the build up into kind of overcoming an event that brought you maybe stress and anxiety and some trepidation?
Yeah. I think for me, just being excited to swim the event again, that was a huge win for me, and that was something I sort of overcame this summer. It didn't really matter what time I put up, I was just like happy to race, and that's like so, like that's so important to me, just to like have fun. And I think I put together a really good race. It was my fastest since Tokyo, So I was just like happy to be there, happy to like put that together. And it was an exciting race too. It came down to the last 50, I was kind of leading, and then sort of, I don't think I died, but I felt like I was dying. And the girls next to me, the Brazilian girls, were kind of charging on the last 50. And I think I was just really proud of myself for like pushing through and putting my head down and getting my hand on the wall. That was like the biggest takeaway for me.
Speaking of challenging environments, your second race and second gold there was in front of a sold out crowd, which is not common for Pan Ams. No shade to the swim fans in Pan Am cities, but that is, you know, it's not always the most energetic venue. But you were swimming against the hometown hero, the 5-time Olympian Crystal Kobrick. What was that like? And do you think it impacted your race at all, or did it just pump you up?
No, for me, that was awesome. For me, that was like such a cool experience. I was in the ready room with Rachel Steggy, who was in the race with me, and we were kind of like peeking behind the curtain, like, oh my gosh, like, who's there? Like, there's so many people. And I knew the crowd was going to go crazy for her. And it was just honestly just an honor to swim next to her. And that was the most noise I've ever heard for a distance race, period. Which was so cool, because I feel like distance races are sort of boring, and just like being able to hear the crowd, like it was like every time she turned the crowd would go crazy, and even though I knew that that noise was for her, it still like pumped me up and was like, wow, this is so cool. And it was so inspiring too, because she's 38 years old and I mean, she, that's no joke, like she still put up a really good time. She's still an incredible swimmer. That was probably my favorite race just because of the crowd. And it's something that I've been missing because of COVID. Like I haven't competed in front of a really big crowd since Olympic trials, because then we had Tokyo and then short course world. So there really wasn't many people there either. So it was cool.
Yeah. I want to put it in perspective for everybody listening to like how big of a deal that you winning that 800 free was, because I remember going to my first Pan Pac meet in 2006 and Crystal Kobrick was racing. Like she was like the it girl to beat. Like it was Haley Pearsall trying to beat her and Kate Ziegler. And like, she is a literal legend in the sport, and maybe not like the well-known distance swimmer, like a Ledecky or something, but Paige, like the fact that you beat her is so cool and iconic. And like, I was so excited watching that race and just knowing that it was in a crowd like that. So kudos to you. Other exciting things happened in Chile as well. You had a birthday. Did you do anything to celebrate? What is it like having a birthday at a meet that like is obviously your focus? You're not really going to celebrate, but I want to know if you did something special.
To be honest, no. I swam the prelims 4x1 mixed relay that morning, and that was sort of a surprise the night before. My parents were in town, but they went off and did sightseeing that day because they thought that I wasn't swimming that day. But yeah, I think it was just cool to be with the team. You know, you always get surprised with a little card. And yeah, I mean, you kind of have to stay in meet mode, kind of have to rest. And it was just like a normal day, I suppose. Sorry, that's a boring answer, but
no, it's just the truth. It's tough, yeah. Having a birthday at a big meet, like you can't do anything.
Yeah, I will say I had some yucca cake, which is like I think it's a type of like almost like a potato, but made into sort of like a cornbread cake. They had that in the dining hall, and that was really, really good. So that was like the highlight of my day.
It is funny that your parents were like, birthday? And yeah, that, like, and nah, maybe swimming? Yeah, we're going to go see some stuff.
We're going to see Chile, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, it's fine. I understand. They came a long way, so.
Yeah, yeah. You also made the national team at this meet, which is, this is obviously an unusual time of year to do that, but it was pretty hard to do. So for people that don't know, in order to make the national team at this meet, you had to go faster than the 6th place time from the entire season. So it was really like, it was kind of like meeting a cut. Was that a goal going in for you, or was it just fortunate that it happened, or were you even thinking about it at all?
I think it was definitely on my mind. I knew that it was a possibility, but it wasn't like something that I was gunning for. Like, it wasn't going to make or break my meet whether or not I did it. So to do that in the first race, like, that kind of gave me the confidence going forward with the meet. And yeah, it was faster than what I went this summer. So that was like the main thing that I was happy with. And yeah, it's always an honor to be on the national team. This is my third year in a row that I've been on it. And I just think about, you know, before that, when I was, you know, 2021, I was like barely missing it, and I would have killed to be on the national team. So to be on that this year definitely gives me confidence going forward.
Yeah. And talking about going forward and having that confidence, like the elephant in the room, this is an Olympic year. Where's your head at? Do you fully allow yourself to kind of think about it all the time? Or is it something that you're just aware of in the back of your mind? You know, it's there, but you're like, yeah, don't focus too much on it. It's so interesting talking to athletes and hearing how they deal with that lead up to an Olympic year. And I'd love to know like where your head is at.
Yeah, I think it's really hard to not think about it. Like, I definitely think about it every single day, you know, like when I go to practice, like that's what I think about. I think it's just learning how to manage, like how you think about it, if that makes sense. And I think I'm in a good place because I'm a big believer in balance. And right now, like, I just got a new job. I'm doing some research at ASU. Like, I have not all my eggs are in my swimming basket. And so that kind of helps me like take pressure off of myself. And right now I'm just really enjoying swimming. And so just like going to practice, having fun, like there's nothing better than that. And I think that's like what's going to help me going forward, and just knowing that this is towards the end of my swimming career. So like, I might as well just enjoy it and cherish it and give it everything I have. So that's sort of more what I'm thinking about. Like, this is one last try rather than like, I need to make it. It's sort of just like, let's see if I can make it or what I can do.
Is that different than how you were thinking about the sport and the possibility of being an Olympic team heading into the Tokyo trials?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think so. I think there's, you know, you have to factor in that we didn't know if trials were going to happen for the entire year. Also at the college season, we were trying to win an NCAA title. So I was also focused on that. But yeah, I think back then I was sort of, you know, this underdog, just trying to make my debut. And I think now I'm in that position again, and I really like being in that position, but it's sort of different because I'm also a veteran. So it's an interesting dynamic because it's like, I don't know, like, it doesn't really matter what other people think. Like, I don't know if people expecting me to make it or not to make it, but it's sort of like how is it, you know, and you grow and change too. So I'm a different person, more mature than I was back then. So like, everything's different. I'm just like learning how to deal with that.
Yeah. Your journey over the past few years has been so beautiful and amazing to watch. I mean, you talk about balance and how you know yourself well enough to know that you need something else on your plate. Can't put everything in the swimming basket. You moved to Europe, you went to school, you got your master's for 2 years. Like, can you talk about that journey so people listening can be like, oh, it is actually possible to swim at a very high level and compete at the Olympics, but also get an education, have a job on the side, and like fulfill your life in so many different ways?
Yeah. I have had a pretty crazy journey the past few years. I think I had a really hard time just adjusting to just doing pro swimming, and I sort of had like an identity crisis because this was never part of the plan for me to be a pro swimmer. And I never wanted to be like Paige the swimmer. So I've kind of learned how to not let it define me. And this is just what I do and what I love to do. And somewhere along the way, I kind of felt out of love with swimming. And then I started doing these other things. I went overseas and just had these amazing experiences, and then sort of just had to come back to why I love swimming in the first place. And that is just like, I love challenges, and swimming itself is like the biggest challenge that I've had throughout my life. And like just embracing that and knowing that every day is a challenge, and like that's a privilege, that's awesome. Like that's something that I've really had to work on. And I'm just like, I'm just proud of myself for like coming full circle and getting to that point.
What was training through your graduate situation in Europe like? Like, were you swimming most of the time? Was it different than trying to balance your undergrad and your swimming for UVA? Like, how was that? How did that compare to like swimming through your, when you were coming up through college?
Yeah, I was swimming a lot, probably more than I ever had been. And also going to school. And for me, like school always took the priority. I think it was really hard at first because I was so out of shape. I had taken 4 months off. And so I was sort of just like trying to survive during practice, and trying to adapt to this new environment. And I wouldn't say it was that dissimilar to my freshman year at UVA, just because I did feel like a freshman. It was just like I had all these different aspects thrown at me, and like that was really cool. But it, at the same time, it was really hard. And I think I like I grew a lot because of it.
What are some of the things that you've done to fall back in love with the sport? It, kind of like outside of having a balance and going to school, because I feel like every swimmer, regardless of your level, will go through this. Like, I hate swimming, I want to quit. This is horrible. Why did I ever swim? So I think like we have such a broad range of listeners. And even if it's just like a parent that's like, please, my child hates swimming. Like, how can I help? Is there any maybe advice or anything that you did that you thought really helped with kind of your comeback into loving the sport?
Yeah, I think more than anything, I started going back to see a sports psychologist. And like, I'm a big advocate for that. I think no matter what age you are, what ability you have within a sport, like that can be really beneficial. And I just like started working on that like on a regular basis. Like, even if I didn't have anything going on in my life, like any sort of like adversity, I'd still go see her on a regular basis. And that was just like really helpful, just to like learn about myself. And then just over time I slowly fell back in love. I think also just I learned to focus on like what specifically I loved about swimming. Like, I love the way the water feels on me. I love being really fit. I love going to practice and being social and having a routine and making friends. Like, that's sort of what I had to remind myself of. Because there has been a lot of times where like I want to quit, or I don't feel like going to practice. And that's just something that's normal and that for me, I had to work on. And now I think I love it more than ever.
Is that being challenged at all by being at the OTC now for 10 days, swimming at altitude?
Yeah, she's like, actually, I retract my statements.
Yeah. That lasted until last Saturday.
Yes and no. Like, it is like, there, you know, you are kind of like in a bubble here, but I'm trying to fill my time with other things. My job, I can work remotely. And just, I've realized like, even though I'm like in this swimming bubble, I'm thinking a lot less about my performance in swimming. I know that sounds like paradoxical, but just being surrounded by my teammates, like that's so fun. Like, we had a game night the other night and we're just like sitting there laughing, like not even talking about the practice or like the meet we have coming up or anything like that. Like, this is like good, wholesome fun. I think that's like, like I was saying, that's what I love about swimming. And, you know, this is sort of the epitome of that.
Is that one of your favorite things about the OTC? Is just being with teammates, having the wholesome fun? Because at ASU or any program, I feel like it's practice, and then you all disperse and go to your apartments in your separate ways. Like at OTC, it's like now you're living together.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. Because yeah. I live by myself at ASU, so here it's like, okay, we're going to the dining hall. Like this is social hour right now. We're like, we're going to Target. Like that's like a fun excursion, you know.
The little things in life.
Yeah,
a good Target run.
Yeah,
I know.
That's like our fun excursion for the day. But I do miss that about college swimming, like going to the dining hall, and like this is sort of bringing me back to that. So I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, is that kind of like you're just, it's college without the class too. It's like you've got all this like just kind of time to fill with the things that you can. Have you swum at altitude before? Has the altitude been a challenge, or are you pretty used to it?
Yeah, I have. I did a little short stint back in 2022 for like 2 weeks. And I've done like junior team camps and stuff like that, which were so cool. But this is my first time, like, I think properly doing it for the whole 3 weeks, like sort of easing into it. The first practice here, we did like a 200 loosen. And on the first 50, I was like, oh, like this isn't too bad. Like I can breathe pretty easily. And then the second 50, I was like, oh no, like I feel short of breath. Eric Posgay is running our camp up here, and he's done a really good job of slowly easing us into it. And people are putting up really fast times. So yeah, it's exciting. I think people are adjusting pretty well. No one's like come down with altitude sickness or anything like that. Fingers crossed. So.
Oh, I'm so excited, since this is your first like big block of time at altitude, mm-hmm. to see how your body reacts once you go back down to sea level and compete in US Open.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, you're going to feel like a superhero. It's going to feel so nice. Oh, it's the best.
Yeah. I think the way Chase describes it, he's like having an air tank strapped to your back. Like you feel like, you feel amazing.
That's very Chase.
Like, okay. Yeah. We'll see. I wish that we got blood tests tank. Like before and after, like that would be interesting.
That would be
see.
Cool. Yeah.
But,
Yeah. All right, Basil, should we do some social kick?
Let's do it. I love this
All right.
part.
So yeah. So Paige, social kick is listeners and followers of the USA Swimming accounts submit questions. And so we just give them to you. They're sort of rapid fire, but go as long as you want. We have four today. So the first one is from Reese G. Did you have a specific swimming role model who inspired you?
Yeah, I think Christy Kowal. She came in and spoke to me, not to me specifically, but she spoke to, I forget which camp it was, but it was like a junior team camp or something like that. And she had gotten third at Olympic trials. And she told us this whole story of like some magazine had taken a photo of her like crying on the side of the pool deck because she missed the team and like she was expected to make it. And she printed it out and like put it on her locker and like looked at it every day for like the next 4 years until she made the Olympic team. And yeah, she just had like a really inspiring story of like, you know, overcoming adversity and like letting her like failures like motivate her. And I think that's sort of where I'm at in my career right now. So back then it really inspired me, but I was actually like thinking about that the other day, just like being here at the OTC when she came in and spoke to us. That sort of brought me back to that I'm sort of in a similar position. There's no photo of me crying or anything like that, but I can sort of use my failures from the past couple of years to like push me forward.
That's great. All right, from Harrison A., what do you miss most about Alabama? He's asking the tough, these are the hard hitting questions we get.
I miss the beach. A lot of people don't know that Alabama's not landlocked. they're like, what do you mean? Like, you live close to the water. I'm like, I live on the Gulf Coast. Yeah, I love the beach more than anything. That's, you know, we have lakes and stuff in Tempe, but it's not the same. So that's probably what I miss the most. And the people. I miss like my family and stuff.
Yeah. All right. What's your favorite UVA swimming memory? Sorry, this is from Katie B.
Okay. Let's see. I probably have two, but for the sake of being short,
I'll take two.
Okay. My first one, I think is probably like my first ever ACCs. I was on the 8 free relay. It's like the first night of the meet. And I remember like being on the block. I'm like literally shaking on the block. I'm so nervous. I just want to deliver for the team and want to do well. And we were racing against, the entire ACCs, but specifically Louisville, in an 8 free relay. And like we kind of had, I think I was the third leg, and like I like came up on the girl and like had this really good split. And then I got out and watched the rest of the relay, and our, I think she was a third year at the time, Erin Eddy, she like came and ran down the last girl on the leg. And then, we won, and it was like this whole big surprise. But my favorite like memory specifically from that race, is coming back to the team area and like hugging all my teammates. And I remember just thinking like, this is exactly where I'm supposed to be. Like, I couldn't have picked a better school to go to, like, than surrounded by better people. And similarly, I think 2019, when I got second in the 500, like my teammates all like came around and like hugged me, and like they were crying for me, and like I was crying just because like I dropped like 6 seconds, and like it was just like, well, I didn't know I was capable of this. I think like that's probably my favorite two memories, just like hugging and crying, and it's like happy tears.
It's a tough question because you guys had a lot of success while you were there, so pulling out two is tricky. All right, the last one, this is from Jason P. We're gonna give Jason a little education right now. The question is, could the average person swim 50 meters in under 25 seconds?
I'm gonna go with no.
Jason, no, absolutely not, buddy.
That is a no. Maybe if you have fins on. I don't know.
I don't know, even with fins. Maybe 50 yards with fins?
Yeah, under 50 yards. Maybe?
Yeah. For sure. Meters is tough. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm thinking about me. I'm not doing that. Above average swimmers.
That's really fast. Yeah.
No. That's really fast.
Yeah. With fins, maybe, but definitely not. Yeah. No. That's a pretty good women's 50 free time. Like
a really good 50 free time.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Really good. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd take it for sure.
Yeah.
What's the trials cut? Like 24 high?
Yeah. It might even be over 25. I think it's 25 something. Yeah.
So it's like well under the trials cut. Yeah. No.
Yeah. Sorry, Jason. That's a big no. Jason.
We don't mean to be. Thank you for the question, but no.
Really honest answer here.
Yeah. Yeah. If this is what you're looking to do in your neighborhood pool, it's probably not going to go great.
Yeah. Probably not.
Yeah. All right. Well, with that, Paige, thank you very much for your time. We'll let you rest up for this afternoon, and good luck with the rest of the camp here. And thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been awesome. I hope I get to see you around, Matt.
Yeah, we'll see you while you're here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Make it up to the pool one of these days.
Sweet. Yeah.
Cool.
Sounds good. All right. Thank you, guys.
Bye, Paige. Thanks.
Bye.
Paige, thank you. Thanks again to Paige Madden. Basil, that was a great conversation, as always. Really cool to talk to somebody who's currently imprisoned in our dorms here.
Is that what we're calling it? My goodness. No, it's true. But honestly, I will say I am with Paige. I kind of loved being at the OTC because all of your friends are there. You're kind of like the misery loves company mindset, but you're in the grind. And knowing that she's never done this block of training, like I said earlier, I think she's going to fly at US Open, which I'm really excited for. But before US Open, we have another fun event that you and I will both be at.
We will both be at. We have our Golden Goggle Awards coming up, which of course will be streaming on USA Swimming's YouTube channel. They are on November 19th in Basel. Of course, they go towards a very good cause that you have a deep connection with. So we'll let you tell everybody why we do this.
Yeah. So all of the funds raised from Golden Goggles goes towards saving lives, building champions, impacting communities. So pretty much everybody that the sport of swimming touches will be impacted by this entire event. And we raise millions of dollars. Well, that's the goal. But I do think, like, combined through all the Golden Goggles, it's been millions of dollars raised. And it's really awesome. There's a live auction. There's a silent auction. If you haven't bought tickets and you kind of live in the LA area, or you want to drive over if you're close enough, whatever, there are still tickets available. But it's also a really fun night because people like Barbini and I get to get dressed up along with the athletes. And like, it's so good because people are like, oh my God, you look amazing. And I'm like, thank you. That means I look horrible 99.9% of the rest of my life. Or you don't recognize me in a swim cap and goggles.
Yeah, it's the surprise in the voice where they're like, oh, you look good. They're like, thanks.
Yeah. Or you clean up nice. Wow. Yeah. And you're like, yeah, thanks.
Or like, I didn't recognize you. And I'm like, I know.
You're like, oh, perfect. Thanks.
Cool.
Thank you. Yeah,
not a USA swimming polo to be found in the, in the room.
No, exactly. Thankfully. But it is amazing. Like, and especially the fashion, because it's also an opportunity for the athletes to express themselves in a way that they literally never get to. All around incredible event. It's for a great cause. So really strongly encourage everyone to look at the USASwimmingFoundation.org website. And even if you can't be there, you can donate, you can participate in the online auction. There's some really cool items that you definitely don't want to miss out on. So,
and make sure you you tune in to the show itself, because we've got a really talented host this year. Miss Elizabeth Basel herself.
I will be hosting. I won't actually give away who I'm hosting it with, but they are also an incredible human. It's going to be fun. Hopefully I don't mess it up. I'm a little nervous.
Yeah. Are you, have you hosted a show like this before, like a live MC type of situation?
I did Golden Goggles in 2020, but that was, it was virtual. So we were all at the USOPC Museum. But it, and it was live streaming, but there was no crowd at all. Like, it was not an event. They flew me, Summer Sanders, and Colin Jones out to host it. So I wasn't really nervous for that, because it was kind of like, oh yeah, I'm just like talking to my screen.
Yeah. But this, if your joke flops, nobody's going to not laugh.
No one's going to know. No one's going to know. So I'm like, oh boy, I'm in front of like, and Barbini, we fill that room with like, hundreds, maybe over 1,000 people.
Yeah.
And it's intimate. It's hopefully people have a lot of wine and they think I'm funny. That's all I'll say.
I will give you the loudest laugh I can from probably the furthest in the back table. Probably, like, who's that weirdo cackling in the back?
Like, extra loud so he can be heard.
Really trying hard.
I'm like, thank you, Barbini.
I got you. Kickstand, everybody.
You always do.
Yeah.
So Golden Goggles and then US Open.
US Open is going to be loaded. This pre-Olympic US Open is one of the best domestic meets we have. It's probably the best domestic meet we have other than our annual trials meets. So this is going to be definitely one to check into. It is not necessarily predictive, but it always gives you a kind of a sense of where people are at and where they're heading for the upcoming Olympic year. So super excited about this one. It's one of the most fun ones we do.
Cool. Barbini, you're the best.
Basel, it's always a pleasure. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and we will see you soon.
Thank you for listening to Kick Set with USA Swimming. Head to usaswimming.org for more episodes, and make sure you subscribe to Kick Set wherever you get your podcasts.